Is it magic or something more? Today on Podcastmagoria. Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcastmagoria's Halloween A to Z. I'm Autumn.
And I'm James.
And today we bring to you, our kind listeners, our L movie, L for Lord of Illusions.
Aha. Okay.
One that doesn't make very many lists, I feel.
Yeah, it definitely seems that from the 90s on, it's just slowly disappeared from many a list.
I feel like it had a really big boom when it first came out.
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like everybody was talking about it. And then, it just kind of fell off the radar.
Yeah, just absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
This was released in 1995, running at an hour and 49 minutes.
And most importantly, it's a Clive Barker joint.
Yes, yeah. So that's what I think makes it even stranger that this kind of falls to the wayside. I mean, you know, Hellraiser is great and all.
Yeah.
Or at least the first three.
Well, okay. Out of his stuff, I feel like everybody just knows Hellraiser.
Even Nightbreed, doesn't really...
Well, I mean, we didn't really know much about Nightbreed
But that's what's crazy, is the fact that as horror fans... You would think that maybe other Clive stuff would float to the top.
Yeah.
So, this will be another year of us covering Clive Barker. Clive Barker's starting to become an annual tradition for the A to Z.
For real. Just like Vincent.
Yeah, because we've done Candyman, Nightbreed, Quicksilver Highway.
Yeah.
And so here we are with Lord of Illusions. We eventually will run out.
Oh, no. Make more stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if people could... Well,
give him money to make more stuff.
We've got at least 7 extra years if we just throw in a Hellraiser movie into the mix. But I don't want Hellraiser to take over our H for 7 years in a row.
No.
So, all right. The movie opens with the title all magical.
Yeah, but doesn't it remind you of like a book cover more than a movie title?
Yes.
That is just the vibe it's giving. Font and all, we're kind of introduced a little bit into this world with text going, there's two kinds of illusionists in the world, and there's evil death ones. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
okay.
it's funny that you say that the title looks like a book cover, because then we have to read like a paragraph.
Yeah.
It's not like narrated or anything. You actually have to read
it. Yeah, you actually have to read it.
I didn't come here to read, says the person that puts on subtitles forever all the movies. After all that goes, we have a pretty long opening credits sequence.
Yeah, where it feels long. James was like, God, half the movie's going to be this opening title sequence. What, it's been 10 minutes? And we looked at the time and it had only been like 3 minutes.
But I feel like that was halfway through. Because, all it does is showing, it's building the atmosphere for the film.
Yeah, we're getting all these panning shots of this wasteland scene.
Yeah.
There's, chicken parts everywhere and rusted metal. You know, you definitely feel like you're in Mad Max.
Yes.
In fact, I said, Mad Max?
Right.
Because, pretty soon we see cars zooming along as well, so...
Finally, after these little bits of question mark raising shots, we start to see also a cult that is gathered, kind of in the same mix as the Manson family.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of people, oddballs and stuff gathered together.
Yeah, very Manson family vibes for sure.
But also, I'll say right out of the gate, if you didn't know that this was a Clive Barker related picture,
mm-hmm.
you would definitely figure it out by this point.
Yeah, you could tell just from the style alone mm-hmm. of the camera work and just, I mean, the cameras used as well.
Yeah. Again, floating along with this Clive Barker style, it looks like just the human version of Nightbreed. Where it's all these, you know, misfits and stuff kind yeah. of in this trashy house.
I was honestly shocked at how diverse the mm-hmm. cast is for oh, this yeah. part. Because they are like normal looking people.
Yeah, yeah. Very just, yeah. If you went into a Walmart and gathered up 15 people.
It would look like this. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. There would be a person playing with snakes. Yeah, Springfield's Walmart. I don't know. Oh, another important thing we probably need to mention is the fact that it does establish where we are and when we are, mm-hmm. where it says it's the Mojave Desert, 1982.
Okay, so we're a few years in the past mm-hmm. at this point. Cool. We're learning a little bit about this cult and the leader.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about how he's the Puritan and, you know, he's going to bring about a new age with his magic, his illusion.
Which, not to discount this leader, I would totally be entranced by him as well because he's playing with a floating ball of fire.
Yeah.
So pretty neat. By the way, the cult leader's name is Nyx. The vehicles that we've been seeing throughout the opening shot finally arrive, and one of the cronies pops up to Nyx and goes, "Swan's here." Okay, cool. Who's Swan? We quickly kind of can figure out what's going on with all this, because while Swan and his crew are gearing up to infiltrate the cult house, we see Nyx go down to this room where a little girl is held captive. And also he's got a pet baboon.
Mm-hmm.
That's neat.
Yeah. You don't see that very often.
No.
It's usually like a jaguar or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's kind of torturing this little girl with this baboon by making it beat up on her and threatening her with disgusting things.
Yep. Yeah. Clive Barker.
Yeah, Clive Barker, I guess. Yeah, we eventually see the gang going through the halls of the house looking for the cult members. And one of the members of the gang, Quaid, walks into this room. And this is where we learn that these are ex-cult members. Because yeah. everybody's like, oh my gosh, Quaid, you actually came back
yeah.
to us. This is wonderful. Join us again. And Quaid's like, hell no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Swan finally reaches the chamber where the girl is held, and Nyx is like on this, how would you describe the thing that he's kind of riding?
I literally put skeleton contraption.
Okay.
Because that's the only thing I could describe it as.
Yeah,
because it's just this big slab of skeleton.
Yes.
Various yeah. skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
And he just slowly turns yeah, on it, like very dramatic.
Yes, he's so dramatic. And it's just like, it's weird because like the actor that plays Nyx, I've seen him in a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
Typically comedic material.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was really bizarre. Because I think I only ever saw parts of this movie whenever I was a kid.
Because
mm-hmm. it's definitely a little bit too adult for for children.
Yeah.
And Clive Barker. Leave it at that.
That's going to be the period of every sentence
pretty
that we
much.
Say.
Anytime
that
something happens, just like, Clive Barker.
Clive Barker.
Yeah, that's going to be a t-shirt. It just says Clive Barker, period. But anyway, like, so it's just so weird seeing him trying to be menacing. Because the whole time I'm thinking about him as George Costanza's boss in Seinfeld.
Right.
And I'm just like, I can't.
Like, can't nothing, take this guy seriously.
Yeah.
What?
Even whenever he was trying to be like an imposing figure in Malcolm in the Middle.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just like, it's still a sitcom. It's still, he's just naturally amusing to look at. And so, yeah, like him coming off of the skeleton thing and being threatening and saying his crazy cult stuff to Swan, and then even fingering his mind,
mm-hmm.
I was just like, well, that's cool and all, but I just can't believe this guy is the leader of this cult.
Oh, no. This is just like X-Ro 2, where it's like so, like, the casting is a little unbelievable.
Yes.
But maybe that's the magic of it.
Maybe that's, it's supposed to sell the fact that my assumption is that Nick's, whatever his original name was, I don't know if we ever learned that.
Yeah, I don't remember.
He was probably just some fucking schlubby lounge lizard magician.
Yeah, yeah. And found out he can actually do illusions.
He happened to come across, like, some Book of the Damned.
Yeah, yeah.
And was just like, okay, I'll call upon Mephistopheles, and now I can do real magic.
Yeah, and everybody followed him.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it. Like, I think that maybe that's the whole point is that because he has the Dark Lords on his side, that's the only way this guy could have ever been the leader of a cult. Because if he just show up and go, hey, I've got some ideas, guys, they'd be like, go back to freaking the Sizzler.
Because, I mean, look at people like Manson and Jim Jones. At least they were handsome.
Or charismatic.
Very charismatic.
Something this unique guy, about them.
Yeah, this guy doesn't have very much of that going on.
No.
In either.
Like, category. I would have a hard time believing that he could be like the manager at a Lowe's, let alone, you know, the manager of people's souls.
Right, right.
All right. So after Nick's fingers Swan, and I'll leave it at that, Swan starts getting like the dark vision.
I mean, this whole time, Nyx has been trying to get Swan to be in the cult again, work with him.
Yeah.
He's strong, he's powerful, he can do it. And of course, Swan's like, no. So Nyx does this eye thing on him.
Yeah.
This eyeball magic. That's apparently something big.
Because it
comes up quite a bit in the movie.
Yeah.
But it just makes you kind of hallucinate and go a big bit wacky for a while.
Yeah. Okay. So when he looks at the other members of his group, he gets the crazy vision and their skin splits apart.
Yeah.
What is it revealing?
I don't know.
What is that?
I don't know. I feel like we might have missed the point a little bit with
Is it with us? That.
Is it us?
Mm.
I don't know.
Because it's a cool effect.
It does actually look cool for 1995.
But I was just like, what are they trying to reveal?
Yeah.
I just thought
it was kind of trying to be like one of those things where, oh no, he's getting so scared he's going to go mad.
Yeah.
I thought it was just kind of trying to scare him.
I thought that maybe it was trying to reveal something to him, that inside every person is, I don't know, a mound of shit.
Wow, maybe you're looking a little too far into it.
Maybe I am. Darn it. How dare I try to find meaning in one of these movies?
Swan's freaking out, attacking wherever he can. Nyx starts to do some more illusions, but he is quickly stopped, and they're able to get him down on the ground, and Swan puts this, like, magic contraption on him.
Yeah.
Or at least a magic stopping contraption on him.
Yeah, he binds the evil forces within Nyx's body by using this, like,
Man in the Iron Mask. Yeah, think of that.
It's like a demonic Man in the Iron Mask situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Which it has, like, some of the features of it kind of have, like, because it looks like it's all iron.
Yeah.
But it also has, like, a little bit of almost Giger esque features to it.
Yeah.
It gets a little lost in the sauce because it's matte black, so you can't see that. There's obvious intricate detail on especially the neck. Like, the thing that I noticed the most was it goes down his neck.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's almost like a spinal column or something, but you don't get to see it long enough. And also, it's 1995, so it's not like the quality's that great either.
Yeah.
So it's just like, well, thanks for putting all that effort into this piece of prop.
Yeah, and the lighting used isn't that great during the scene either.
No.
Yeah, I would like to see the prop, like in real life, and actually get to study the detail on it, because it does look really cool. Anyhow, they decide to bury him deep, 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 deep in the ground so he cannot be found ever again.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, there's been this little scamp running around in the background this entire time that we haven't mentioned yet. Mm-hmm. And he is actually a very important part of the story.
He's an incredibly important part of the story. And kind of.
And that's her little friend, Butterfield.
Yeah, Butterfield, hey, who I probably will refer to as Butters throughout the rest of the episode.
If only he was as sweet as Butters. Come on. As I said, he's been scamping around this whole time, and he escapes.
Yeah. And when he escapes, he, like, turns back to look at the house and does, like, this, like, hell scream.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, does he have powers? Does he have something about him?
I just figured, because I think I mentioned when we were watching, is he Renfield?
Like, right. Like, what's the deal with him?
Did he get hurt, too, because his master got hurt?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe the rest of the movie will explain that.
Is this a book?
It's based off of a short story, so...
Okay, so maybe in the story it kind of explains some of these questions we have a little better.
Maybe. Well, here's the thing. If it's based off a short story, I don't imagine it goes
Okay, just because it says short, does a short story can be 200 pages still. Believe me.
But it's...
Call of Cthulhu is considered a short story.
I think that if it hits like... That's y'all need to reestablish the rules here, because short story to me is like 4 chapters and we call it a day. But like to be like, oh, it's a short story, here's this 5 volume tome.
Yeah, that sounds like a short story to me.
Good God.
But anyhow, maybe there's a little more detail on the relationship or why the eye thing is so freaky.
Yeah, could be. Maybe there was plans for more movies like Nightbreed.
Lord of Illusions 2.
Yeah. Maybe it was going to expand upon the stuff and then it didn't
do so
great.
And then they said, let's put money into Hellraiser instead.
Let's just keep tacking Hellraiser onto onto movies that have nothing to do with it. We'll have to eventually get around to talking about the Hellraiser movies, because that's
of course,
a lot
yeah.
to talk about.
Yeah, my favorite horror series ever, and I know that most of them are bad, so...
Yeah.
Anywho, we're going to travel into the future now, 13 years to be exact, and who do we see on the screen but our Lord and Savior, Scott Bakula? His career died for your sins.
Oh boy.
Yes, he is a detective, Detective Harry Demois.
That's right.
Harry for now on.
Again, I don't really remember much about this movie. Mm-hmm. So I forgot that this is basic. This is very, I would say, like Lovecraftian noir.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is
sure.
a noir film, flat out. And so Harry is cookie cutter detective character, down on his luck. Has a drinking problem.
Had a bad case.
Yeah, had a bad case.
Where he got, like, super scared because he's like a paranormal investigator, like occult stuff. Mm-hmm. And he recently had a case where there was an exorcism involved and he actually saw the demon in the kid and it scared him half to death. And now he's shamed.
That's right. I wish that there was more. Okay. So this movie has, for it being 1 hour and 49 minutes, it has so many working parts that I feel like we never really get to dig into the entire film, because I am really fascinated with Harry's character. And the other thing that's crazy is, though it never really digs into stuff, after this scene... It is breakneck. It is like every scene is like maybe less than a minute long.
Yeah.
It's just like bam, 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 just moving that story along. And
yeah. And there's a few things that come up that I was like, why are we here?
Yeah.
How did we get to this
point? How did we even get here? Yeah.
So let's continue on, James.
Yeah. A guy comes in and ends up telling Harry that he wants him on a case out in L.A. To look into a guy that's doing insurance fraud. Harry's just like, I don't really want to do it. And he's just like, you know, you got to get back on the horse.
And I guess the best way to get back on is to go into something that's not supernatural at all.
Yeah.
You know, just investigate some insurance fraud.
Yeah, this should be easy for you. In L.A., Harry follows around the man that has done the insurance fraud.
Yeah, we don't get any bullshit, him trying to find him or anything like that. It's just straight up, He's there investigating the guy.
Yeah, yeah. We see the guy partying with some naked ladies. We see his dingle dang.
We think that we stayed at this place when we were out in L.A.
Yeah, yeah. It was oddly familiar. I was like, oh, man, I think that they're even in the room we were in.
I don't know about that, but I definitely think it was that hotel that we were at.
I think it might have been as well. So that's kind of weird. He follows the guy around, and the guy eventually goes to a fortune teller. Well, that's different. That's not where I would have expected somebody that's doing insurance fraud to go.
Yeah, and after a night of partying, you know,
mid-partying. It was mid-party. And he's just like, oh, got to throw on my pants.
So, very strange.
Yeah, it must be something really fucking important for him to ditch out on three naked ladies.
Right? But the thing is, as Harry's trying to go in through the back, this guy runs out the back.
Yeah.
Like, he's in and out.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck happened?
Yeah, so Harry doesn't chase after the insurance guy. He goes inside the building to investigate what's going on, like a good detective. And he quickly discovers that some sort of tussle has happened, because he sees blood, stuff's knocked over, and then he ultimately finds our old friend Quaid is sitting in the back with all these blades stuck into him.
Yeah, of course, we as the audience don't really know that yet, but...
Yes.
And as I said, this person ends up being very important to the story after all.
Uh-huh.
It's Butterfield!
Yeah, Butterfield is there. Oh, and also, we got Batboy is running around.
Oh my god, yes!
Yeah, because... Yeah,
Butterfield's assistant, Batboy.
Yes, the BB Boys. Harry has a tussle with Batboy before getting into the room where Butterfield is hanging out.
Batboy is not the character's name. He just looks like Batboy.
He looks like Batboy. You would understand if you saw him. So any of the scenes with Butterfield are weird.
They're weird because
he's never really all that worried about anything.
Mm-mm.
Like, he doesn't really, like, he's just kind of there.
Yeah, like, he knows things are going to work out in the end for him.
Apparently, because, he's just like, you came in on me fucking torturing this guy. And I think that's even more dialogue than does he even say anything?
No, he just kind of stands next there to Quaid, threatening to, slice him up more.
Yeah. And then Harry doesn't really even give, any reaction to this.
No, he doesn't immediately, try to get Butterfield or anything. He's just there watching him stick knives in his face.
Yeah. And it's just like, what the fuck? And then while this is happening, old Batboy's trying to bust down the door to get in to save Butterfield, which you would think almost that this would be some sort of epic fight. However, Harry makes quick work of it.
No. Instantly out the window.
Yes.
Butterfield follows.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't really remember how he got, because he flies out the window too, doesn't he?
No, he just slowly, I think, walks out the door. Like, he just saunters off.
I was so wah about Batboy just falling out the window. I don't even remember what happened to Butterfield. And then Quaid's all, oh, help.
Yeah.
Help.
Yeah. But also
he's alive,
but also slowly is just kind of fine while he's telling, because Harry's trying to ask him questions, but it's the scene's so weird. It's weird for all the wrong reasons.
It's a little weirdly put together.
Yeah,
I'll say that.
Nobody reacts the way they're supposed to react.
No, no.
Nobody's. Nothing about this is right. But he ends up doing tarot cards for Harry.
Yeah, even though he's all cut up and bloody and stabbed. Yeah. He's fine to do a tarot reading.
Yeah.
You know, he's pretty much telling Harry, hey, you are really susceptible to the dark side. You need to watch out. Mm-hmm. Something terrible is coming. Yeah, you just gotta be careful, man.
And then he croaks.
That took all of his energy.
He's just alive long enough to give Harry this warning. Harry is seen giving statements to a police officer. a character I thought was going to be important, because most detective procedurals, when you have a detective from out of the town coming in, and then you have somebody that's from the actual local PD, that's usually then a partnership that that forms.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I've watched too many Beverly Hills Cop movies, but that's what I was expecting out of this, because she has lines.
Yeah.
They talk for a while, and she pops up a second time.
She does. She does. But it's... she's definitely not as involved as she should be, because Harry just kind of comes and goes as he pleases.
Yeah. Harry is very similar to James in The Empty Man.
Yes, yes.
Where he is doing way more detective work than anybody else is, and is just kind of free to come and go as he pleases.
This isn't even the case he's supposed to be working on. No. He's supposed to be working on the insurance fraud.
Right. Yeah. It's so weird. Batboy, his body had disappeared also. So we don't know what happened to Batboy, or do we? Because then we see Batboy and Butters talking, and Butters is, well, we're preparing for the homecoming. We can't have anyone ruin the time. Mm. And Batboy is just like, well, you know, don't worry about Harry. It's like, okay, we won't.
Yeah, we already saw how good you are against Harry, Batboy. So yeah, I'm sure you've got it under control.
Let's introduce some more characters to this plot.
Okay, when I first heard who the frick this lady was that we see coming out of this pool, because we're just snapped right into like a mansion.
Yes.
I just hear, Miss Swan. Miss Swan? Yeah. He's married?
Yeah, right.
He went from ex-cult member that nearly dies.
Yeah.
Has like the weird illusion thing happen with his eyes to married in a mansion.
Yeah. 13 years later, he's doing all right for himself.
Dang. Good for him. Yeah. He must have had a really good therapist.
For real. That's funny that you should say that, because that's almost exactly what I wrote. Like, I put parenthetical in my notes, like, damn, Swan has done really well for himself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because she goes to talk to Swan in his study, and he is kind of disillusioned.
Yeah.
By the illusions that he's doing.
My gosh. Golf clap.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. But he really is, because he's tired of doing these. Because why he's so rich is because he's a famous magician now.
Yeah.
Like, he's got billboards all over LA, and he's just tired of putting on these hokey magic shows. Nobody knows that it's real illusions, and he's upset about it.
Mm-hmm. Miss Swan ends up telling him that Quaid has been killed, and Swan is, again, it's that, I didn't know how to read his reaction of him pretending that he's not upset, but he is upset.
Yeah.
Or that he was just like, well, things will happen.
Yeah. I was thinking it was him more trying to be cool about it so that she doesn't go too far into going, well, who exactly was he? What? How do you know him? What was your past like?
Yeah. Yes.
You know.
Which is interesting to think that, and we'll unpack that at the end of the movie.
They're married.
Yeah, they're married. And also, well, you know, do we want to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag on as far as who Miss Swan is?
No.
Okay.
No, I feel like that's a big...
that's a big plot
that's
point.
That's such a big twist.
It's a weird twist. And also, I'll tell you, this is all I'll say, is her interacting with Swan in this scene doesn't make sense.
No.
It's almost as if, when they were making this movie, did they know who Miss Swan was going to be?
Yeah. I don't know, because there's a few times where I'm like, why would she be acting like this?
Yeah.
So.
Swan ends up telling her that he's going to be adding something new to the act tonight, and also that he isn't going to Quaid's funeral.
Yeah. Yeah. In the newspaper article that she's showing Swan, they see Harry in the picture, and she's like, we need to find this guy.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Why? What about this? It's so fucking weird.
Like, does she just go, man, that guy looks like Scott Bakula. I want to meet him.
Right? Yeah. Can I just pretend that this movie is actually just an episode of Quantum Leap?
Yes. Yes, we can.
Excellent. Swan also has an assistant. I think that's what he is. I don't really know what this character's relationship is.
I feel like
them.
He's the assistant. Yeah.
Like a manager, maybe. He's just, he's always there.
He's the Alfred.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Not
so maybe,
butler, not an assistant. Yeah. Just, you know, he's there for help.
Okay. Yeah. So Valentin.
Yeah. Valentin and Miss Swan are talking, and that's who she's asking to, you know, find Harry. And guess what? They don't spend much time on him finding Harry. Like, the next scene, they're meeting in a graveyard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very quick.
I love that about this movie. Yeah. Because so many movies spend so much time on finding people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I feel like we have taken more time talking about these scenes than the movie actually even gave to these scenes.
You're so right. You're so right.
Yeah, so it's Harry meeting Miss Swan and her looking into Quaid's death and what the relationship is and stuff. And he's asking as well. He's just like, well, what's the deal with Swan and Quaid? And she's just like, well, you know, I just need you to look into this stuff. Mm-hmm. And also, you should come to tonight's show.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
She just pretty much wants Harry to see what he's like in front of a crowd.
Yeah.
Because?
Okay. That night at the theater, you could see the enormous crowd of people rushing in. It is packed house. Mm-hmm. So the Swan guy must be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, the stage show looks really cool because there's all sorts of huge props and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he comes floating down and the stagehands are like, how does he do that? Is it wire or whatever? And I'm like, these are the stagehands.
Yeah, how do they not know?
How do they not know what is going on backstage?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, also, why would he be floating? Like, this is, it's so dramatic. Like, there is no reason for him to be floating around behind the curtain. Like, that doesn't serve any purpose.
But that's how he opens it. They open the curtains and he's floating down.
Well, that's not 100% true.
Oh,
because
you're right.
We have this incredibly elaborate and sexy show where there's a bunch of, you know, half-naked people writhing around on the stage.
Clive Barker.
This big bottle gets put onto the stage and it's got a skeleton in it, and then the sand goes into the bottle. They break apart the bottle, and then the sand that has now hardened explodes, and then it's Swan floating.
Whoa, magic.
Yeah, cool.
Chris Angel.
That's right.
Whoa. Yeah, needless to say, he does do his new illusion. Mm-hmm. And sneaking around backstage, we see Butterfield.
Yep.
I can't believe he's here.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
But the illusion does not go right.
No.
It's a sword of Damocles type thing. And so the swords are falling and one hits him.
Yeah.
And so he's freaking about that and trying to get out. And so while he's freaking out, all the other swords are coming down and stabbing him. And it's pretty gruesome.
Yeah, that's a shitty way to go.
Because the whole audience is just watching going, is this actually part of it? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. And
can't
then like
tell.
By like sword five, everyone's
and,
like,
and
oh.
And his blood's coming out of his mouth.
Yeah,
and
they're like, oh, shit. So yeah, the crowd stampedes. Harry runs up onto the stage and is poking around. And I love this because he's like peeking underneath like the set piece and sees sparks. So he ends up going underneath the stage to investigate. And there's some electrical lines that have been cut, which I guess like would lead you to assume that some tampering, like Butterfield probably cut the line.
Yeah, something malfunctioned.
Yeah. And then has this giant fight with Butterfield and Batboy underneath the set. Keep in mind, there is still people merely feet above them.
Yeah.
While this fighting's happening, Harry pulls a gun, shooting happens.
Yeah. The whole thing, though, is Butterfield's like, who killed him?
Yes.
I didn't do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Butterfield beats the fuck out of Harry also.
Yeah, because didn't Butterfield think Harry had something to do with it? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, they both think that the other one is guilty for killing Swan.
Yeah. And then the outcome of all of this is we lose Bat Boy.
Yeah, Bat Boy gets impaled.
And no reason for Bat Boy to be impaled.
No.
Had nothing to do with the death.
No. And then also Butters just, you know, again, saunters away.
Yeah.
He's like, well, time for me to slowly exit.
So Harry's back at the police station talking to that investigator again.
Yeah.
And she's still so dismissive of the whole case. And I'm like, wow, well, it's great that we hardly see her because she seems just like a ray of sunshine.
Yeah, why did we even need...
We didn't need this
this
third wheel
story. It's the only reason why it serves any kind of purpose is because Miss Swan is pulled in for questioning also. Mm-hmm. And so Harry goes over and starts, you know, talking to her.
Yeah, they're talking privately in an investigator's like office.
Yeah.
I'm like, how'd they even get in there?
That's right.
But anywho, she tells Harry that he needs to go to the Magic Castle to investigate and talk to Swan's friends and see if he can get any information. Probably not, but probably you can not. Try.
Yeah, sure. To the Magic Castle he goes. I want to go there so bad.
I want to be there so bad. This is why we think it's the hotel, though, that we stayed at, because
it's literally across the street.
Right across the street from the Magic Castle.
Yeah, yeah. So that was kind of weird to see. Harry joins some magicians around a table and starts asking about Swan.
None of them liked him.
None of them like him, especially Vanovich. Vanovich really hates him and gets like, and there's this little, okay, so something I haven't been giving credit to for Harry is he's always throwing out these little quips and saying like he's just always kind of like saying little barbed things at people.
Yeah, he's a little petty.
He's a little petty. And yeah, like that's not lost on Vanovich, who storms out and he tells all the rest of the magicians, don't you talk to this guy about anything. And one of the other magicians that's sitting there, Bill, is just like very entertained that Vanovich got upset.
Yeah, I wish there was more of this character in the movie because I genuinely love him every time he's on screen.
Yeah.
And that's only like a handful of times, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, it's the movie moves. It's kind of a long movie, but it moves so fast that you don't get to sit with maybe the more interesting aspects of the film. Bill tells Harry about Nyx and what he knows about him, which he just thinks that Nyx was another powerful magician and that Nyx had taught Swan all the illusions that he knows, which is, you know, half true, I suppose.
Yeah.
Later on, Harry is in bed and he's having visions of basically the last 30 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, so we get a recap.
We get a recap of everything we have literally just seen.
Just in case you weren't keeping up.
That's right. The phone rings and it's Miss Swan. Harry asks her if she's ever heard of Nyx, and she drops the phone. Gasp. Never thought I'd hear that name.
But yeah, she's like, hey, no, not me. Never. Ooh.
Valentin is listening in on the other line. And it's just like, what's the deal here?
Yeah.
Harry has found out about one of the other members of Swan's old gang, Jennifer, and asks about her as well. Harry returns to Quaid's place to poke around for some more details about, hopefully find out more about Swan's old crew. And he ends up finding a little black book hidden inside of one of the drawers in the desk. At this time, Valentin shows up and offers him $30,000 to just leave the job. Just fuck off. Stop poking around. He doesn't need to be involved in this. Harry turns him down.
Harry's an idiot.
Yeah. He wants to know what's going on. His detective mind is just like, it's on fire right now. Valentin tells Harry that he needs to, at the very least, leave Miss Swan alone because him looking into all this stuff is, you know, putting her in danger.
Yeah, yeah.
What danger, though? Valentin could fucking tell him.
Right?
Save him a little bit of legwork.
Yeah, so he can be like, oh, you know what? I will take that $30,000 after all.
Right? Harry goes to a hospital where Jennifer has been residing for the past 4 years. She is having a real hard time having a grip on reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as soon as he mentions Nyx, she's like, no, No, don't talk about him. I can't even think about him or he'll get me.
Yeah, like she freaks out so much that she runs out in front of an oncoming car. So, another character taken care of.
Yeah, no, I honestly almost wanted to skip this scene because I feel like it has no consequence.
Yeah, it barely has anything to do with it.
Just besides us going, oh, that character is still alive from the beginning, which we didn't even mention her from.
Right.
And then she dies.
She could have just died off screen like completely.
Yeah, and they could have mentioned it.
Right. Harry meets up with Bill to break back into the magic castle to try to access this secret chamber that has like magician secrets and stuff in. It's something they talked about in the previous scene of the magic castle.
Yeah, as they're looking about the room, they end up finding a secret room because you know how all these movies work. They find a symbol that's slightly out of place and they press it and then, ooh, secret room.
Yeah, amazing.
But this scene feels so Clive Barker to me. I don't know why, because as soon as Harry tries to like reach into that little secret room, like a contraption almost gets him.
Yeah.
I don't know. It reminded me so much of Hellraiser.
Sure. Yeah.
Just the way that it's shot and everything. I thought it was cool. I wanted to point it out.
Well, I think that a lot of this is, though, ruined by the weird projector monster.
Yes, it is. I was on board for this scene until that stupid thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it scares Billy half to death, and it's so obviously not actually there.
Yeah.
Harry comes up and is like, ooh.
Yeah,
it's just putting his hand through it. And
yeah, he shoots the projector.
Yeah.
And just, like, rolls his eyes.
Yeah, one of the books that they had found in the room, Billy's looking through it, and he's like, I don't know any of these tricks. And I think it's Harry pretty much says, those aren't tricks, man.
Right.
Those are more than magic.
Yeah, and we, as the audience, because all the illustrations are showing what we already saw in the beginning of the movie that Nick's had done. Like the mental fingering, and so some of the levitation stuff. I think there's also like him juggling the fireballs. In the mix, the Knicks mix.
Harry goes back to Swan's mansion and sees Miss Swan there with his body, like at the casket. And it's kind of weird that the casket is in the mansion.
Yep.
But I guess maybe it's a rich person thing. I don't know.
Just being dramatic.
She tells Harry kind of about Nick's a little bit more. Mm-hmm. She finally lets the cat out of the bag, tells him about his tricks and whatnot. And she also reveals to him how grateful she was to Swan.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't really say why, but she was grateful to Swan, and that's why she's so sad.
Yeah, she owes him.
And then Harry kisses her?
And then they have sex.
What?
There was negative chemistry.
Yes. I would not have even guessed that there was any chemistry here for this to happen. And this was definitely the moment that I was like, how did we get here? What are we doing here? What's going on?
Yeah. Now, all the while when they were talking, Valentin was listening in, and we see him get on the phone to call somebody. Who he's calling? I don't know. He's ordering a pizza for, you know, when they're done having sex, they'll be hungry.
How nice of him.
After they have sex, this is when she reveals that she was the little girl from the beginning of the movie.
Kind
of
odd time to bring that up.
It's a really odd time to bring it up, and also, now we can finally reference back to the beginning of the episode when we were talking about how when she's interacting with Swan, it's as if they don't know each other.
Yeah. And she's always like, he won't talk about his past, blah, blah, blah.
You've
know
lived it.
His past. You were a part of his past. What is wrong with you, lady?
Yeah. Like, it doesn't make any damn sense.
They start to hear noises about the mansion.
Yeah.
And so Harry goes to investigate, and it's, ooh, 3D animated spooky illusion.
Yeah, watch out, guys. If you're afraid of 90s CGI, it's going to be too scary.
Very Lawnmower Man right now.
Yes. Harry, after getting scared for like a minute, he finally goes, it's another fucking projection. And then storms over to the coffin, pops it open, and starts ripping apart the fake body of Swan.
Yeah. Thank goodness it was fake, because he just goes straight for his jaw and rips it off. Yeah.
Could you imagine if it was really his body? Yeah, he just was wrong. Also, how did this lead him? Like, why would he think, oh, yeah, Swan's actually not dead?
I don't know, James.
Like, that's the part of the discovery and part of the investigation that we never, like, that we didn't get that.
No.
Yeah.
He had a feeling. That's right. A gut feeling.
He had a gut feeling he needed to tear apart a corpse. And unfortunately, it was fake. He ends up questioning Valentin, and Valentin is trying to ultimately keep Nyx away from Miss Swan.
Yeah.
Like, the whole point of all of this is, one, since Nyx is basically, he's coming back, and there's no stopping it. So Swan faked his death to protect Miss Swan from being a part of the sacrifice, I think.
Yeah, Harry is just like, I need to talk to Swan.
Yeah.
And Valentin's like, hell no.
Hell no. You ain't talking to him, fool.
Next day at the funeral.
Yeah.
Harry kind of watches from the distance, and we see another figure also watching from the distance.
Okay. So here's the thing, is even though this was not the best quality, you know, movie, the other figure that was filmed far away, I immediately was just like, so we got Swan in a fat suit wearing a fake beard. This master illusionist
is not a master of disguise, okay, James?
Clearly not. Someone get a hold of Pistachio Disguisey, because he needs help.
Harry follows, and whenever they meet up, Swan has a car floating above his head, threatening Harry to throw it at him if he steps any further. So they're kind of talking about the situation, and Harry's like, well, I need you to be alive right now. And Swan's like, I can't be alive, because then everybody that I know is going to get destroyed.
Yeah.
So, sorry, man.
But I mean, if Nyx is so fucking powerful, evil, and all that stuff, what does he think is going to happen anyway?
That's exactly what Harry says. Yeah. He's like, well, this guy's really super powerful. He's going to find you, especially in that awful getup.
Yeah. And also, let's say if Swan was dead, why wouldn't Nyx go ahead and start killing everybody anyway?
Exactly.
That's the end game here.
Exactly. All of the people that he knows has Swan smell on them,
you know? Yeah. Harry, he convinces Swan to help him take down Nyx. Cool.
Yeah, it just took a little convincing.
You know who we haven't seen from in a while?
Who?
Butters.
What's he scamping about doing?
Oh, well, he's just fucking up old Valentin.
Yeah, we're back under the stage.
Yeah,
for some reason. I guess maybe Butters decided to live down there.
He's a phantom of the theater?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
But yeah, they're kind of having a showdown under the stage. He wants Valentin to help him find where Nyx is buried.
Yeah.
Why Valentin would know?
I don't know. I guess because he's just such a good friend to Swan.
Yeah, maybe he knew all of Swan's secrets.
After some convincing, Butters finally starts to get what he wants out of Valentin. I think we're going to finally get our big bad in this damn movie after all this freaking time.
Yeah, yeah. We'll do a little bit of Podcastmagoria magic here.
Yes, please.
They go to the burial site.
Yep.
They find a part of Nyx.
Yeah. Oh, and also along the way, at some point in time, Butters also kidnapped Miss Swan.
That's why I was going to do the Magoria magic, because it's like in between these scenes that we find Swan and Harry going back to the mansion and then going, oh no, she's kidnapped.
Yeah. Well, since Butters now has the body of old Stinky Pants Nyx, he takes him back to the cult house where all the cultists are still hanging out. That's amazing.
They aren't looking great, though, are they?
No. They're all taking broken shards of glass and shaving off their hair and throwing it into the fire. I guess he likes that smell. Some people like incense. Some people like the smell of burning hair.
Well, a lot of cultures, and since a lot of cults take from cultures, I'm assuming this cult might have had the your life spirit is in your hair type thing, and so they're giving their life to... That's what I assumed.
Here's hoping. Or someone just thought it'd be a cool scene. Harry and Swan, they had reached the hole where Nyx was buried and find Valentin, and Valentin tells them, what's up? Cool. Back at the cult house, Nyx is starting to come back. And he's looking kind of rough.
Yeah. I don't know what they did for the makeup for this, but he kind of does look disgusting.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, you have your face concealed underneath a metal contraption for 13 years and not look a little weird.
True.
He has the ultimate tan lines from it. Once Nyx is resurrected, he asks where Swan is, and Butter's just like, he's dead, man. And Nyx is like, no, he's not. And I need him here now. And Butter's just still like, no, man, it's that's not the thing. And kind of slaps Butter's around for this.
I just like how Harry was proven right, though, that as soon as Nyx woke up, he was like, yeah, Swan's alive. I feel him.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
I love that. Nyx goes out to meet his cultist. We get that classic Clive Barker, like, one-liner for all of his movies, and this is the, will you suffer with me?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. He's always got one powerful line.
Yeah. It's always something to do about suffering. That's pretty much all. It's like he writes the entire story around one line. So all the cultists kneel on broken glass for his entertainment. Swan and Harry finally arrive. That's good.
Yeah, they're able to find the house because they hear the screams of the cultists.
Yes.
So that was easy.
Yeah. Nyx ends up recognizing Miss Swan and is just like, oh yeah, good to see you again. You're coming with me. We're going to finish what we started 13 years ago. Whatever it is that they started, I honestly still really don't know.
Yeah, I really don't know either.
The whole time I thought that she was important, like she was a part of some sort of ritual.
I thought she was supposed to be the sacrifice.
Yeah. I don't think that she really matters. I think that he just took a shine into her.
Yeah, I just think he's a little freak.
Yeah.
Nyx seems to be growing in power.
Yeah.
When Swan arrives and meets him, he's starting to look grosser.
Yeah.
And grosser. And in fact, he grows what I called the third eye pink eye. Because it's like a sphincter on his head.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's very from beyond.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, where it's just like, what's happening?
You
like,
feel why did disgusted. We yeah.
Why did we put this here?
But yeah, the third eye pink eye
okay.
comes to life.
More like the third eye stink eye.
Right, right. Because he's got this third eye, I guess he's a little more powerful now, and he uses his power to create a rainstorm in the room.
Okay, so this is the big climax of the movie. It is sloppy as hell.
It kind of is.
Because so basically what happens is Nyx is just like, to all of his cultists, you guys are worthless to me.
Yeah.
And sinks them into the ground.
Yeah, because at first they're like, hooray, Rain, you're so powerful, this is great. And then, as they're sinking, they're like, what are you doing to us? Why would you betray us like this? And
he's just like, you're not worthy.
Yeah, you're actually not believers, because why would you be questioning me right now?
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, he opened up this giant chasm in the middle of the room. I'm assuming goes straight to hell.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
And he's holding Miss Swan over it. And that's when Harry enters and he drops Miss Swan. Harry catches her just in time. And then it's more like, oh God, it's so clunky. It's
so much back and forth,
So incredibly clunky. Swan has a little bit of a showdown with Nyx, but it is worthless. Because Nyx, like, blows up his guts from inside.
Amongst all of this, like, that is going on, Nyx is also confessing his feelings for Swan and how he was jealous and how he wanted Swan to himself because he loved him.
Yeah.
What? Where is this coming from?
Harry is like at some point, like in the mix of all this stuff, is also fighting with Butters. He's still poking around. He kills him, thankfully. Like he got electrocuted? Like that's why this is such a mess.
Yeah, it is a mess because Harry's fought Butters like a couple of times now in here, and it's so hard to keep up with.
At one point in time, Nyx is then chasing after Harry and Miss Swan down a hallway, and he ends up fingering Harry. So then Harry gets the doom vision. Miss Swan gets a hold of Harry's gun and shoots Nyx right in his third eye.
Good shot.
Yeah, good job, man.
But that doesn't necessarily take care of him. He pops right back up and goes, "One last illusion, Michael."
Yeah, that's right. He does like his cool final form.
I literally put, Nyx does cool things.
Yeah, yeah. But while he's like about to do whatever his big, like, final attack was going to be, Swan inexplicably is still alive after, like, literally they show, like, this interior of, like, his bones cracking, his guts exploding, and his brain bleeding. But he's still alive somehow. Harry convinces him to do an illusion where Harry is, like, floating across the room, which I guess surprises Nyx. And Harry's just like, well, into the hole you go. And Nyx pulls a fucking Palpatine and just, like, tumbles down this, like, almost bottomless pit down into hell, essentially. Neat. But then, just when you think things are over, we get kind of like this, like, Evil Dead mixed with Poltergeist situation where the place is, like, coming down.
Yeah, because you see Nyx's essence come back up through the hole and shake through the house.
Yeah.
Swan's body is like ripped to shreds. Yeah. It's like everybody that had done illusions is destroyed in the moment.
Yeah.
Not really sure what's going
on. I
don't know. But yeah, Harry and Miss Swan, Dorothea, if you really want to be nasty.
Yeah.
They walk off into the sunset.
Yeah, the end.
Every time a movie ends where they're literally walking into the sunset, I just want to scream.
Yes. Okay, so verdict.
I'm so on the fence.
I don't know if I like this movie.
I like it a lot better than Nightbreed.
Oh, well, okay.
It makes more sense than Nightbreed.
That is 100% fair.
I love Clive Barker. Don't do this to me, folks.
So
I'll say I think it's worth a watch. I give it a like.
I give it a...
We can disagree. We can disagree occasionally.
Okay, I don't like it. I think that the movie's sweaty. I think that...
It does have a lot of problems. That's why I'm only liking it.
I'll tell you what. I'll take the heat. I think that this is the problem with almost all of Clive Barker's movies. And all of his stories, in my opinion.
He gets a little too involved in his idea.
There is a lot of style and not a whole lot of substance that's actually worthwhile. It's like when you do a glow up on like a Dollar Tree Halloween decoration.
And my problem is he does contradict himself a lot in his stories.
And so this movie, I don't know, like there's a lot of factors about it that I thought were neat, but I think it's too, for it being almost 2 hours long, you don't get a whole, like, it's crazy to me that we actually managed to talk about this movie as long as we did.
Yeah.
Because it's almost 2 hours long. However, there isn't a whole lot to it, which is crazy to me because every scene's packed full of something.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it's packed full of is empty calories. There's nothing going on in this film almost the entire time. And then the big payoff is almost worthless because of the fact that, like, you have this big boss you've waited the entire film to get to.
And he's taken down with a gunshot, essentially.
He's taken down with a gunshot and then getting thrown into a fucking hole.
Ugh. Yeah.
It's worthless. There was no magic words spoken.
Yeah, he was supposed to be murdering the world.
Yeah. I don't think he would have gotten too far.
His words, by the way.
Yeah. How far would he honestly gotten if he, like he stepped on a rusty nail and get tetanus and die? Like, he's just...
Right.
Yeah, this guy's useless. Like, it's kind of a weak villain.
Yeah.
Or, in my opinion, a weak movie.
Yeah, we barely saw him. He was just kind of a thought in the air. I feel like Butterfield might have been a little more...
Butterfield was a formidable villain.
Yeah. Despite
he's also
his,
worthless.
His aloofness.
Yeah, yeah, because he's an important character, though barely around. Doesn't have much in the way of dialogue. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really do much other than slice a couple people up.
I like the way he looks.
How he looks. He's stylish as fuck. But he was ahead of his as far as style goes by at least 4 years. And so good for him. But the rest of the movie is just... And also, I think that almost all the actors look like they don't want to be there.
How could you say that about Mr. Bakula?
Mr. Bakula, I tell you right now, looks like he wishes he could quantum leap out of this movie. The way that he delivers almost all of his lines is just like a, do I have to say it? How much money is it? Okay, I can do this. Yeah, it looks like we'll have to get to the bottom of this. Is that good enough? Cool. I'll be in my trailer. It's just like he just seems so about it. And I feel bad for everybody that's in the movie, because I think that everybody that's in the film they're all good, with the exception of Butterfield, because I can't remember what else I've seen him in.
Yeah, I can't place him.
But everybody else that's in the movie, the guy that plays Swan, I'm familiar with from several other films. And, of course, Miss Swan went on to be in GoldenEye and also then in the X-Men films.
Yep.
Like, you know, we have people that went on to great things. The story for Nyx, I'm not going to get into details for, but the actor played Nyx, unfortunately, met a tragic end.
Mm-hmm.
So that sucks, because I think that guy was all, like, everything else that he's in, with the exception of this movie, I absolutely adore him.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of unfortunate for him. But yeah, like, this movie is so... Ugh. I was bored, which I'm often bored with Clive Barker films.
I think I was more bored with Nightbreed, and I shouldn't have been with all the monsters running around. Yeah. But... This one keeps my interest enough, and it's probably because it is a detective story. Yeah. My other favorite genre.
Well, it's very Lovecraftian.
And yeah, the Lovecraft element with the cultist and Harry Bean and a cult investigator.
Yeah,
like I like those little tidbits.
Yeah,
as I said, not my favorite movie, but I think it is worth a check out just to see if maybe. You can figure out what's going on.
I need to just read Clive Barker's stuff.
I know. I kind of want to read this story now just to see if it makes a little more sense. Well, maybe it was just a really clunky script.
I think that Candyman's the best one.
Candyman, like story, everything story, makes sense.
Tight. Check it out. See how you feel about it if you've not seen it. If you have and you think that I'm way off base about how this is just a watered down, chunky mess, you know, tell me why.
I enjoyed it as a kid and I like it as an adult.
Yeah, so it's rare for us to not
That's
meet.
The best review I can give. 3 out of 5 for
Three
me.
Out of five, 2 out of 5.
Oh, see?
I don't hate it. Yeah. I just don't think it's good.
You'd watch it over Nightbreed?
You know, since I've done more, I think I like Nightbreed more than this. I think that, like, as clunky as that is, at least now that I know that there was all this other stuff, I can kind of appreciate it more.
Yeah.
I think that Nightbreed, it's not fair. That movie it's not fair to that movie.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't supposed to be just one film. So, and I think even in the Halloween Hangover, like I kind of came around.
We redeemed it a little bit.
Yeah. And much to the chagrin of one of our ghouls who tirelessly defends that poor movie. I don't know. I've come around on Nightbreed more. So if you want to watch this movie, it is available for streaming on and off a little bit of everywhere. So you'll be able to find it. It's pretty easy to find.
I think you can
find it on DVD pretty cheap. Check it out. That brings us to the end of this episode of Podcast Magoria's Halloween A to Z. Our next episode is our M episode. M for My Boyfriend's Back.
Yay, a fun one.
Okay, all right. We need it. So check out how we feel about that movie next time. Until next time, if you find yourself investigating a mysterious death of an illusionist, maybe sometimes it's best to not learn what's behind the magic and just enjoy the illusion itself. So go out to Vegas, check out a cool show, and most importantly, you must stay spooky.
Blah, blah, blah.
Bye. You've been listening to Podcast Magoria, hosted by Autumn Campbell and James Davis, themed by James Davis. Like what you heard? Be sure to follow us wherever you get podcasts. Be sure to check out our social media and TikTok for additional content and spooky previews for future projects. And as always, Stay spooky.